Hey, welcome to Poetry This Morning here on KUMD, a feature that we have loved to bring you here on this program, sharing the stories and the language of folks who are connected to their sense of place, their sense of culture through their language. This morning, our guest is Michelle Goose, and she first came to our attention because she teaches a class in Ojibwe, and one of our staff members, who will go unnamed, was taking that class and recommended her enthusiastically. Michelle, good morning, and thanks so much for being our guest.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
You bet. You sound great. It's a sad thing to have to talk about. We've talked about this on our show before, that when you meet an Indigenous person who speaks their own language, chances are they've not been brought up speaking that language. How did you come to speak Ojibwe?
Well, I, like most people, was not brought up speaking the language. I heard it in the household and in the community, but not enough to be considered a first language speaker. So I grew up learning it as a kid and then got further into studying it and really committed to studying and wanting to be able to speak it fluently in my college years. And I've just continued that study since then.
It was, I remember my dad telling stories. Of course, his grandparents had come from Sweden and Norway, and the adults used Swedish and Norwegian as a way to talk about things that they didn't want the kids to understand. Because, of course, at that time, for European immigrants, the idea was no, speak English, don't be old-fashioned, don't hang on to the old language. Speak English and become, you know, a part of your new country. But obviously the story of Indigenous people in their language was a lot more tragic than that.
Yeah.
So tell me,
kind of along the same lines of you should speak English to fit into the society.
Right. But it did, of course, give the adults a great shorthand.
Yeah.
And of course, they could say the words that they needed to express whatever it was that was going on without having to worry about kids overhearing and repeating necessarily those words, which I also kind of get a kick out of. So tell me what learning your language and becoming a fluent speaker of your language meant to you, because learning a language as an adult is a tough business, man. Our brains are not really wired that way.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey, and it's taken many, many hours, and I'm lucky enough to be able to do it for my work, so I get to continue learning and teaching others as part of my job. So that makes it a little bit easier for me to continue studying. It takes many, many hours to learn and maintain a language. And for me, it's just about connecting to my identity as an Ojibwe person. Growing up, I always knew that that I was Ojibwe and I was connected to the culture, but not so much the language. So I felt that there was a disconnect. So throughout my young years and my adult life, I've been trying to reconnect to that piece that I always felt was missing, which was the language.
Did you have fluent speakers in your life, maybe elders that were happy that this was something that you had pursued?
Oh, yeah. I've had many great teachers. My family is very supportive, too. When I was a young kid, I remember I could go ask my aunts and uncles and my father different words, just like how to say months or if there was a certain animal I was wondering about. So I was lucky in that when I was a kid. And then I've had many elder teachers who are very excited about people wanting to learn the language and they're willing to put up with a lot.
Well, I'm sure that it is really gratifying to them also to see a new generation, you know, picking up the banner. And especially since you are teaching the language, that really must be gratifying. I had asked you to be a guest on our poetry program, and I said, can you find a poem or a reading that you feel really connects you somehow to your sense of culture, your sense of place? And I'd like to ask you, I didn't really ask you anything after that about it. I just said, okay, well, she's going to find something. So now I'd like to ask you what it is that you found you wanted to share with us today.
Yeah, well, there's only a handful of people that I know of that do poetry in Ojibwe. I think it's a bit of a challenging thing to do. I've never tried to write my own poetry, and I'm not too familiar with poetry myself, but I found one from Jane Johnston Schoolcraft, and she was alive in the 1800s. So she did poetry in both English and in Ojibwe, and Ojibwe was one of her first languages. I believe she was a bilingual Ojibwe and English speaker.
Wow, how fascinating. I'll want to get some information about the book that you found or the poetry collection that you found so that we can put up a link and folks can read more if they're curious. But what I'd like you to do, if you'd be so kind, is share the poem in Ojibwe first, and then if you'd go back and share it again in English.
Yes. Okay, so the poem is called To the Pine Tree. And there's a note about it on first seeing it on returning from Europe. So she was returning from a trip to Europe, and this was her feelings and thoughts when she first saw the pine tree. So I'll read it in Ojibwe, and then I'll read the English version. Jingwak, jingwak, ningi kid, weishki wabamug, jingwak, dagoshanan in danakiyan, jingwak, jingwak, nusa, jayigwa gidadisanan, Gagige wejawish gozid. Misa naja yigo dagoshinang. Gegatsa nimin waindam. Minawa wabindaman. Giya dawia wabindaman. Chingwak jingwak. Nusa jayigo gidadisanan. Gawingegu ga wabindayan. Dibishkugo ejinagwa sanun. Jingwak wejawish gozid. Win eta gwenajiwid. Gagige wejawish gozid. Now I'll read the English version. The pine, I eager cried. The pine, my father, see it stand. As first that cherished tree I spied, returning to my native land. The pine, oh lovely scene. The pine that is forever green. A beauteous tree, a happy sight. That greets me on my native strand and hails me with a friend's delight. To my own dear, bright motherland, oh, tis to me a heart sweet scene, the pine that's evergreen. Not all the trees of England bright, not Erin's lawns of green and light, are half so sweet to memory's eye as this dear type of northern sky. Oh, tis to me a heart sweet scene, the pine that evergreen. And that's the end.
I get so emotional about poetry. I just love poetry. Yeah. I'm either teared up because I'm touched, as I am now, or I'm laughing my head off because I like funny poetry also, and just can communicate things that no one else can. When you have to be away from home, what says home to you when you first begin to get closer and you come back, and what first do you see in the landscape that says, I'm home now?
Yeah, I was just recently home. I'm from the Leech Lake area, and I was home visiting family. When I turned down the road that leads to my little community off into the forest, it's the trees that make me feel like I'm home and always feel like they're welcoming me. And then in my childhood home, my parents had transplanted some cedar trees in our front yard, and they were just kind of skinny cedar trees when we were growing up, and now they're larger trees, so I always feel home when I'm among those trees. So that's kind of why I picked this poem. Those trees always feel like they're welcoming me home.
Michelle, what a great poem you chose. What a great sentiment. And I will get in touch. I'd like to put up a link so it'll be possible for folks to find the poem that you read and take a look and explore the author's work a little bit more. And thank you so very much for being our guest this morning on Poetry. What a treat.
Thank you. Me great.
That's Michelle Goose, our guest this morning on Poetry, a feature here on KUMD's Northland Morning. Poetry is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.